Okay, I've got the pleasure of reading today. We're reading two passages, and we're reading them in NIV. The first one is Matthew 6, 25 to 34. I'll just give you a moment to flick or open to that. The Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? The pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And the second passage I'm reading from is Luke 8, 4 to 15. Luke 8, 4. While a large crowd was gathering and the people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told them this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on the rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. When it came up, it and yielded a crop 100 more than was sown. When he had said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. His disciples asked what this parable meant. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and the devil comes to take away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop.
I'm now going to pray for Stephen, that God would speak through him as he opens up his word. But let's pray together. Dear Lord, you are all-knowing and wise. Thank you for revealing to us the truth that sets us free. We ask now that you would teach us more about yourself through your word. Please prepare our hearts and empower Stephen so that he can faithfully explain and impress upon our minds the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good evening, everyone. Nice to have you all here. For those who I don't know, who are visitors, really is lovely to have you. I hope, as Michael has said, that as many of you as possible will stay for some food and join us afterwards. It's a great opportunity to spend time together, to chat. And in some ways, even as we chat, just to try and think about and tackle a little bit of this subject. Michael's already said, this really is part one of two. So next month, when we have our service again, and we'll have information out through the website, we'll send out emails and have flyers and things ready to go, we want to build on what we consider this evening. Michael also mentioned to you as well, what would be helpful. I'm saying it's helpful, it might be terrible, but I'm hoping that you'll send me some questions. And as a result, I will seek to tackle these. That might be the terrible part. And so feel free to ask away. You can send an email or a text message to me directly if you want to, but say we're going to have a central number that you can contact us through. And if there's a specific thing that you want to ask about, then you should feel free to ask that and see if we might somehow just touch on that as we gather together next time. It's a huge subject. And it's one, I'm sure, as Michael has even said already, that it really does affect so many, if not all of us, in one way, shape, or form. So to begin with, I want to show you a photo. Hopefully you can see that on the screen. Here we go. Now, this was the scene of a potentially very worrying incident that I'm glad to say took place without any harm caused or further concern. This is the exact place last night where I dried my three-year-old daughter's hair. So let me paint the picture for you. Usually, when I have Ailish in the bath, I wash her hair, followed by what is honestly a fairly torturous attempt to dry it in some sort of way with a towel in her bedroom before we then move to our bedroom, where usually only ever Mum dries her hair with the hairdryer. Now, huge strides, let me say, have been made in this venture. It was only until a couple of months ago, that when her hair was dried with the hairdryer, I had to provide a protective barrier, cupping her face with my hands in order to protect her from the air that was coming out of the hairdryer. The hot air in her face was not appreciated. But however, she manages it really very well now and is much more brave. But last night, Nikki received a phone call from Scotland. So I gave Ailish her bath, got her hair washed, and after the, once again, torturous towel drying, we got the hairdryer. And because Nikki was in our bedroom, where she usually gets it done, we made our way into Ailish's bedroom. And we stood in front of the chair, and I plugged in the hairdryer. And as I changed the settings to get it more child-friendly than Nikki might have it, Ailish got quite upset. She said, no, daddy, I'm too worried. I said, what are you worried about? And she said, I'm just so worried that the cushions are going to blow off the chair. And I asked why she was so worried about that. And she just said, it's just because, I don't know why. And I said, look, darling, you don't have to worry about that. And I started drying her hair, and the incident was immediately forgotten about. And if I do say so myself, I did a lovely job. I dried her hair very well. And if you are wondering or concerned, like Ailish, the cushions actually stayed on the seat. The hairdryer was not powerful enough from 2 meters away to blow them right off onto the floor. It's funny, really, and it is actually pretty sweet. But it does raise a few points about worry that I think are actually quite helpful to recognize. He was tired. It was past her bedtime. It was a slightly different routine than normal. Also, she's three, for those who might not know who my daughter is. She's three. She doesn't necessarily know when to use that word, worry, in the right place. It was fairly irrational, but it also subsided pretty quickly. And I think actually for us, whether we are teenagers or adults, sometimes we worry, or maybe we worry more when we're tired. Sometimes it's because the situation we are in is actually not what we were expecting or typical for us. It's a bit new. Sometimes we use the word worry and it's actually not really that either. Sometimes it's irrational, even as adults. Sometimes it subsides just really quickly. Sometimes people like me will say to you, don't worry. Worry, anxiety, stress, fear. I think whichever one of these almost interchangeable words we use describes something that every one of us has felt, and it can be a huge problem and concern. Emily mentioned that in her prayer. These are very real life issues which many of us face. I wonder if you could say you know someone who has no worries in life. Now, let me also say this about worry, that I think we worry or have concern about some things over a long period of time, others much more briefly, like the length of time it takes to get your hair dried. Others will be a lifetime of worry. We worry about a range of things, from the significant to the insignificant. But regardless, there's a verse we read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 12 and verse 25, speaks to us about all anxiety of whatever sort, I believe. It says, anxiety in a person's heart weighs them down. Anxiety in a person's heart weighs them down. I would imagine that most of us would say, yep, I've been there, I've felt that. And I think whether long-term or short, whether significant or insignificant, worry is weighty. It can consume us. It can change how we think and act and feel. It can paralyze us. It can limit or reduce our lives in a way which very little else can. It is something that really affects so many people. And that's partly why we're taking the opportunity to address it in some small way in this service and again next month. Look, I don't claim that we can solve it all. There's no silver bullet when it comes to worry, but I think we can think deeply about it and most importantly consider what God says to us about it. Because what is amazing when we come to the Bible and we consider this topic, the key thing that God says to us is do not worry. That's the clear command to every one of his children. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. We might think, well, I know that, but I still am. And we might say, okay, so it's just as simple as God saying, don't worry, and then I'm going to stop doing it. Or maybe you think, don't worry, that's ridiculous. Or at best, it's unrealistic. And the thing is this, God is all wise. He is the creator of the whole world and of life. So it's actually more than just a piece of good advice. If God says it to us, and if you are his child, he equips us to do it. He tells us things that are possible for us. So I want to say a few things. See, we've only got limited time. There's only a few things we can touch on. And again, anything I don't touch on that you'd be really keen to know about or have us think about, do let us know. But the first thing I want to think about is, what is there to worry about? And if I asked you, what are some of the most common things that people worry about? I reckon we could be here for days. So many things that we worry about. We might worry over a long number of years about our children and the choices in life that they are making. Equally, we might worry that while we're out of the house, it might start to rain and the washing we put out is going to get wet. We might be worried about our health. And by the same token, we might be worried that the cushions are going to get blown off the seat. Here's what I think we can say, though, also about worry. I think if I think of any of my everyday worries, I think if most, if not all, at their root are in one of two categories. Either we worry about things happening that we do not want to have happen, or we worry about good things not happening. Okay, so basically we're worrying about what if this happens, or we worry about what if this doesn't happen. Maybe you need to take a little bit of time and think about that. See if that's something you agree with, if you think all worry could be categorized into only those two. And the things we worry about, sometimes the consequences of these things are just unwanted or inconvenient or frustrating, but might grow on a scale up to being really serious or dangerous or maybe even life-threatening. I was thinking, as an example, maybe some of you will insist that your friends or family text you and let you know somehow that they've arrived at their destination after they have left you wherever it is that you have been together with them. Now, my wife Nicola, if she goes to visit her family up the central coast, I like for her to be able to send me a text to tell me when she's there. It's a 2-hour journey. And if that length of time has passed and she's not been in touch, then I can start to worry. Now, maybe she's just forgotten. But maybe something's happened. And our minds start to set off down a path of worry which can steadily or even rapidly build until we hear from that person. We're worried because the reality is that something could have happened to them. What if they were in a crash? What if something terrible happened? And so we worry. We worry about the things that we do not want to have happen. In the same way, we worry about our health or the health of others. What if it is serious? Or what if they die? Maybe in your life you've experienced hurt somehow in the past and you worry, what if it happens again? And so we worry about things. Often we worry about things we don't want to have happen. On the other hand, we can worry about things not happening that we would like to. Many people will worry about being single. What if I never meet anyone or never get married? What if I never get to be a mum or dad? What if I get bad exam results and don't get that job? People often worry about these types of things as well. I'd be interested to see if you could think, are there more categories over and above and beyond that? But the first thing I think that is helpful for us, actually, when we worry about things, is to recognize that we're worried about them. Because often we just kind of push on and carry on, keep going. But if we actually just take a bit of a step back and think for a moment, that's a good first step. Because if we get a bad health report from a doctor, we say, I'm really worried about going to see the doctor this week. You say, well, what are you worried about? Well, I'm worried about getting a bad report. Well, what is it that you're actually worried about? Keep on stepping it back all the way. No doubt you're worried about what that report might say or the effect of that report. Maybe it will say that you need to get surgery and you'd be worried about getting surgery or whether it would mean that you would have to have time off work or whether it would be painful. Maybe you're worried if it's a bad report that it will affect your life in some way. Maybe you worry about the fact that you will no longer be able to have the lifestyle that you are used to or would want to. Maybe you would worry if it was a health report of some sort that might mean that you have something that there might be a bit of a stigma attached to it. But it's interesting to keep on reeling it back a step at a time and think, what is it actually truly that I'm worried about in all of this? Because it's helpful to be able to call it out and to say, actually, this is what concerns me. I think it can be helpful to do that, getting to the root of what we're worried about. I think it helps give us a little bit of perspective, and that can be helpful. I think it also reveals to us a little bit what's important to us. In a bad health report, it could be actually you're concerned about what people will think. And that actually might be what is giving you the most grief, the most concern. So you've got to think carefully about the worry you have and what it is truly that is worrying you. It's going to help you better deal with the root problem. And so, we might analyse worry in this way, and that's the first thing to look at. What is there to worry about? The second thing is, what does worry do? What danger does worry pose to us? Is there actually any sense by which worry could be helpful? So let me start with that. Is it a situation where worry could be a legitimate and reasonable response, even a helpful one? In part, I think maybe yes. Worry or fear could stop you doing silly or foolish things. Now, some of you might be into sport. I am. Some of you, perhaps like me, might also like golf. And right now, one of the major golfing tournaments, the Masters, is taking place over in America. Now, early this morning, which was, of course, there yesterday, play was stopped because of bad weather. There was a storm brewing. Now, if there is a storm where thunder and lightning might play a part, then being worried about a few men who are basically walking around in a large field holding metal sticks, that seems legitimate to me. I'm a bit worried about these men standing out there that the lightning could strike them. So you know what we should do as a result? Stop play. So that's what they did, and everybody went inside, and you'll be pleased to know that there's no men standing out in the middle of the field struck by lightning. So maybe worry is in some ways legitimate, where it stops us doing things that we shouldn't do. Like if you see a dangerous looking road ahead, you might think, I'm not so sure about that. I'm a bit worried that something can happen, so maybe you don't take that dangerous path. Otherwise, you just kind of throw your hands up in the air and say, ah, no worries, no need to worry about that. Let's just give it a go. It could end up being unwise. So there are situations where actually worry might point to something that we need to do, changes that might need to be made, actually. But of course, there's a real danger with worry. We read earlier it can weigh down our heart. Worry can consume us. One of the passages Ben read in Matthew chapter 6 said, who by worrying can add an hour to his life? But why? Why do we worry? Now, of course, it's because of our concern, but what benefit does worry bring to us? Any at all? Of course, worry can lead to anxiety, can then even become a medical issue. And that is so tough. And from my own experience in witnessing that, life then revolves around this anxiety, this worry, and it is a huge issue. And I'm not in any way going to try and attempt to deal medically with these types of things. But I can lead you to the passage that we read earlier, the parable of the sower from Luke chapter 8. And it's interesting there because it really warns us of a danger that comes with worry. The word of God, as it's, we've had read to us already this evening, is thrown out, and it has the potential to bear fruit in our lives. It can cause growth. And for those of us who are Christians, we want to be feeding on the word of God. We want this seed to grow in our lives. We want to be mature. We want to bear fruit. We want to be more like Jesus, because the more like Jesus we are in our lives, the more that he is glorified. And that is the very purpose that God has given to us in our lives. But in the parable of the sower, the word of God goes out and some of it is choked up by the thorns. And the thorns, we are told, are the worries and cares of this life. I think we have to take that very seriously and be careful. I'm not going to suggest you should be worried when you read that, when we're told not to worry. But we don't want to be unfruitful. Really, this is saying that worry can take you away from God. If you're not obedient to God to not worry, then actually worry can lead you away from him, cause you to be unfruitful. And that may be for a time, a short time, or it may be much longer. It may be ultimately that you walk away from God because of worry. Worry about the things in this world. And so if worry can do that, then you've got to realize how dangerous worry is in your life. It's not trivial. It's actually very, very dangerous. And for those who are Christians, there is surely nothing worse than the thought of not walking with Jesus, of not being near to him. Nothing worse than the thought of not bearing fruit and maturing and being like him. Because your purpose in life is to give glory to God as you're transformed and changed to be like him. So how dangerous is it then that we worry? I have a friend in Scotland who would have said he was a Christian, but after finding himself single and seemingly without any Christian girls around to consider dating, he instead took his worry about being single outside of the church and outside of Christian circles, and he quite easily found himself an unbelieving non-Christian girl. Found her, and then he found many others after that. And while his worry was dealt with, he was in a far worse position after that than he was before. He thought he could pop God on the shelf for a little while he went and dealt with his own worries, apart from being obedient to God. And he's just never come back. And you know what? He actually still has worries. Somehow we might think that I'll deal with this myself. I won't do what God says. There's a different way, a better way. So often the danger with worry is that it leads us away from God. So this is the final thing I want to say to you. How do you deal with worry? Maybe it's just as easy as this. Don't worry. Be happy. Make a good song, actually, wouldn't it? In life, we have some trouble. But when you worry, you make it double. Here's Bob, you got that one right. He's right, isn't he? Like, if you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Ah, don't worry, be happy. Your landlord says your rent is late. You may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy. We've already said that sometimes worry leads us to action. I think if someone's taken your bed, rather than not worrying, maybe you go and tell the police. Maybe claim it back at insurance. I don't know. There's probably things you can do. If your landlord's going to sue you, maybe just pay your rent. You know, like, is it as simple as that? Is that all you're going to do? Just be happy? When someone tells you don't worry, does that help? I said to Ailis last night, I said, you don't need to worry about that. And I started drying her hair and she completely forgot about it. But sometimes people can say, oh, you don't need to worry about that. That's fine. But it doesn't help at all, does it, actually? Because it might not be something that they worry about, but it is actually something that you worry about. You maybe care quite a lot about it. So what do we do? How do we deal with worry? And we're not going to catch it all tonight, but I think if someone is worried about something, then you can be in a place, first of all, to listen to them. Sounds very simple, but I think that is helpful. Don't just write off their worries as if they're nothing. Maybe you can actually say something to them, give them some information that would be helpful to help them realize, in fact, that's not really something to worry about. But stand with people who worry. Pray for those who worry. If the person you're speaking to is a Christian and they're worried, direct them to pray. If you're a Christian and you find yourself worrying, then here's what you've got to do. You've got to pray. There are well-known verses in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Here's how I memorized it and what I would often quote it as being. If you're anxious about anything, Then in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now that is, I guess, one way we could read it. And in fact, if we are worried about anything, then we should take it to God and we should pray about it. But it doesn't say if you are worried about anything. It says, do not be anxious about anything. So it's a strong command to those who are Christians not to worry. But bring everything then to God. So if there's anything on your mind and you're worried about it, then pray about it. Make that the first thing that you do. The peace of God then that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I wonder if any of you have ever done that. I wonder if you've prayed when you're worried. And I wonder then if any of you have felt and experienced and known the peace of God which passes all understanding. I have. And it is incredible that God knows me so well and loves me so deeply, that he cares for me in such a way that as I lay my worries and my burdens, my anxieties before him, he gives me peace. Because he's God in heaven. He's created this whole world and everyone and everything in it. And he has power to do all things. There's no better place for me to leave my worries than there with him. The question is whether I will trust him with them. Because often I pick them right back up and worry about them all over again. And when he says, bring your worries to him and pray, that's not a guarantee that he's going to answer your prayers the way that you want them to be answered. But will you trust him with that answer as being sufficient, as being wise, as being loving, as being kind and caring? That is who he is, and that is what he promises he will be to all those who are his children. God cares for you. God cares for his children. Another lovely verse in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. That is what you need to do. Throw them, cast them, give them to Jesus because he cares for you. He can handle them. Actually, you can't. You know what worry can do in your life. Give them to God. He's not surprised. He's not like, oh my goodness, this is dreadful. What are we going to do here? You can't catch him out. You can't ever cast so much onto God that he can't deal with it either. He's the all-powerful God of the whole world. And if you are his child, he cares for you. So take your worries to him. Cast your anxieties onto him. You need to humble yourself and say, God, I can't deal with this. It's okay. You've got worry and concern in your life and it is weighing you down. It's okay to say, God, I can't deal with this. It's okay to turn to people who are friends, who are Christians and say, I can't deal with this. Will you pray for me and help me? Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30 again says something very similar. Let me just read it actually for us. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, that is those who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Think again, Emily prayed it for us. For those who are worried, just want rest. It just so unsettles us when we're worried. And we need rest from all our worries. And Jesus says, come to me, you who are labored, burdened. Come to me and I will give you rest. That is an invitation to you if you're a Christian. But let me say it's also an invitation to those of you who are not Christians. And if you're not a Christian, let me say this. There may be many things that you are worried about. But none of these things that you worry about is in fact the thing that you need more than anything else. Maybe things that you want and you're worried about not getting them, or there might be things that you're worried about getting that you don't want, but actually there is a far greater need that you have, something that should cause you to worry, actually. And that is that you have an enemy, your greatest enemy, which is death. It is an enemy that will come to every single one of us. Every one of us has to deal with death. And it is our enemy because of sin. If you are not right with God, if you've not received the forgiveness of God, then that is weightier and that is more of a worry and a concern than anything else here on earth. It's the greatest worry or concern any of us should have in our lives, to be right with God. Because if you do not have God, if you do not have Jesus in your life, then you do not actually truly have life. Jesus says, I've come to give you life now and eternally. And if you're not right with God, if you've not accepted him, if you don't come to him and give him the burden of your sin, then you will carry that sin with you always and you will have to pay the price for it. But Jesus says, come to me and I will take that burden, because he's dealt with it. He's dealt with death. He's defeated death. He's overcome it. He's dealt with sin. He can remove your sin. He's paid for it. And so you can come to Jesus. You don't need to clean yourself up and unburden yourself first. It is your burden which qualifies you to come to him. So come to Jesus. Come before him. And so let me say this then as we finish. God knows. He knows everything. And he knows everyone. He knows you. He knows all your stress and your worry. He knows your anxieties and your cares. So you can go to him. He longs for his children to come to him because he cares for his children. If he feeds the birds of the air, if he makes sure they're okay, and how many birds are there? This is a good dinner conversation. All the birds in all the world, how many is there of them? And he cares for them. And it says, how much more valuable are you? You're valuable in God's eyes and he cares for you. Will you come to him? If he can feed the birds and he cares even about them, do you not believe that he will also care for you, that he can meet your needs? None of your problems and worries are too great for God. Again, that doesn't mean he's going to fix them all, answer them as you would choose. But you do need to know that he's all powerful and he's all wise. So instead of focusing all our attention and our energy on our worries and concerns, let us instead look to God. Let us seek first his kingdom. And his righteousness and all these things will be added to us as well. The final thing is this. If you're a Christian, and only if you're a Christian, you have assurance. You know that one day you are going to be with God in heaven because you love him. Because you've united yourself to him and walk with him. You know you're going to be with God in heaven one day. You're going to worship God forever, be in his presence forever. How do you think your earthly worries here and now are going to feel in eternity? How are they going to compare in light of the fact that you are with God in his presence? Are they going to feel foolish? Are you going to wonder why you didn't trust God, look to him more, lay your burdens before him? Because I am sure they will all fall flat when we are given wholly and fully to worshiping our God in heaven. And God offers us that even now we need not worry. Do not worry. Rather, look to God. Lay your burdens and your worries down before him, knowing that he cares for you. Amen.